is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another program related to the upcoming May primary election ballot, but today not talking with a candidate, but talking about a ballot measure that is on that primary election budget ballot in Douglas County. Mike McCarter here with the Greater Idaho Movement, joining us from Lapine, where, Mike, how much snow is on the ground right now?
Yeah, we've got 3 to 4 inches and are expecting another 6 inches or so here in the next night or two.
Wow. Well, we're certainly watching the weather with mixed thoughts. It's just been a crazy time. But let's focus on this question before voters. I pulled off the right from the county election site. The question, shall county resources be used to incorporate Douglas County within Idaho's state border and thereafter be subject to Idaho's laws? There's more detail after that, but this is kind of another look at that question. Let's go back to the beginning and talk about how this idea evolved.
Well, we started in late 2019, a group of people from Douglas, Josephine, Jackson, Klamath, and Deschutes County. Just actually, we met on Facebook, and we started talking about it and then met in person and tried to figure out what could we do to bring up the discontent that's going on in southern and eastern Oregon with Oregon's leadership. And at that point, we decided probably the best way to do it is to poll each county to find out what the citizens, how they felt about it. And jumping into that, you know, that idea of petitions and accounting and all of the requirements for getting a petition out there, we found that we had to make it legislative in order to get it up on the ballot. And so we applied to 19 counties with petitions requests, and shortly thereafter, COVID took over and just almost squashed everything because nobody would sign a petition, even if you got one approved out there, because there's no big events or anything like that, and you didn't want to walk up to somebody wearing a mask, and you're wearing a mask, and can you catch COVID from the pen and whatever. So we managed to get 4 counties on the ballot in November of 2020. And one of them was Douglas County, because the county commissioners wanted to find out what the citizens of Douglas County, how they felt about this issue. And at that time, we were about 30 signatures short of getting it on the ballot as a legislative petition. The vote went down. 57% of the people voted against it. However, that was a brand new message out there, and we were just getting into this battle, and we did not have any funds to take and advertise or to promote or try to get the message out in a clear way. So we felt that 43% of the people voting in favor of it, including the only rally that we were ever able to do before the COVID situation at the Douglas County Fairgrounds, 400 to 500 people showed up for that. So Douglas County is really our first love. They're the ones that really responded to us more than any other county in the beginning to get this whole program going.
You know, any political organization trying to navigate the past couple of years has had certainly a lot of obstacles. But what's happened since that time with these other counties that you're checking in with as well?
Well, some counties that took several requests to get a petition worded correctly that it would get past the legal requirements in each county to get it onto the ballot. So far, we have had 8 counties that have passed the measure in various types of wording, and the last 6 of them have passed by an average of 62%. Including Lake County, which passed at 74%. So people want to start looking into options. They want to see what they can do from a grassroots organization, not a political organization, but an organization that is traditional values founded, to get the leadership of Oregon to recognize what's going on in Eastern and Southern Oregon. Because right now, the Oregon's leadership is being directed by the Willamette Valley in the Portland area, because that's where a majority of the people are at.
Do you feel like this question crosses political lines at all, or do you feel like your supporters are coming from more from one particular political perspective?
Well, we're not politically driven. We're not financially driven by any corporate entity or anything like that. It's strictly grassroots values, of the traditional values of faith, family, freedom, independence. And that crosses political lines. It does tend to align itself at times between the blue and the red thinking. But all in all, I'm not going to take and box in what I might see the other side in this issue, because I believe there's a lot of folks, no matter what political party they are, that believe in those traditional values and that they need to be maintained and carried forward for future generations.
And I know in conversations I've had over the last few years with some folks on the progressive side and some folks involved in the Democratic side, you hear, though maybe the topics and reasons are different, you hear a lot of concern about Salem and disagreement and a sort of a feeling like the urban area leadership isn't aware of what's going on in rural areas.
Well, you know, there's some thinking in rural Oregonians that the urban side of the state, or the urban corner of the state, looks at us as their playground, where they can go and ski and water sports and hunt and fish and camp and get out into the open. But then after the weekend's over or the vacation's over, it's back to the white-collar jobs, the high-paying jobs and so on that take place around the Portland area. And so there is some feeling there. I think that people that come out of Portland genuinely like to visit with people in rural Oregon, because they're common folk. They're folk that like to sit down and talk and like to relate. They're not on that treadmill of push, push, push all the time.
Go ahead.
No, I think you are correct. There's people on both sides, political parties and whatnot, that want to see the traditional values maintained. But how we come about changing it or affecting it is up in the air. But it's got to come through the state legislature for something like that to change.
So what's happening this May, in addition to the vote, the question in Douglas County? How many other counties do you have similar measures on the ballot with?
Well, we had enough signatures and got it on the Douglas County ballot, and enough signatures, more than enough, in both Douglas and Klamath County to get on theirs. And the commissioners in Josephine County said, we want to see what our people think about it. And so they put an advisory question on the ballot there. So basically a large chunk of Southern Oregon, or towards Southern Oregon, are voting on this issue in May.
And how many counties, again, have passed similar measures so far?
8 counties to date, starting over in Malheur, Baker, Grant, Harney, Lake, Central Oregon, Jefferson, Sherman. Those counties have all voted for it.
Let's talk about sort of how would this all roll out? I mean, this is a proposal that has got a lot of layers of things to it, because it's not, the idea of let's just move to another state doesn't seem to take place very often in history.
Well, it's a different thought on it. Let's look at the basic question. What are the sources and the solutions to the discontent that's taking place in Eastern and Southern Oregon? That's the main question. So our goal through the county votes is to send that voice up to the state legislature that you need to start looking into this. You need to look What are the sources of this discontent? What's taking place on it? When we did a poll in January in the Portland Willamette area up there, 81% of the people responding said the state legislature needs to pick this up and start talking about it. But to date, they haven't done it. So we're hopeful. We're talking to legislators on both sides of the aisle to try to get the discussions going in the state legislature. Frankly, if Northwest Oregon or the state legislature doesn't want to deal with this problem, then let us go. Let us make a choice of who governs us. And right now we are blessed in that we've got a more traditional value conservative state right next door to us.
Going to take a break. More when we come back. Mike McCarter from Greater Idaho. They interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 on Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, Peter Greenberg with Eye on Travel at 4 o'clock. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, another candidate interview. Incumbent Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce running for re-election. He'll join us tomorrow. Mike McCarter here from Greater Idaho talking about the ballot measure on the Douglas County ballot. Shall county resources be used to incorporate Douglas County within Idaho's state borders and therefore, or rather thereafter, be subject to Idaho's laws? Mike, talk about your background politically. Have you been involved in other political movements, other topics?
No. Back in 2000 and 2001, I was the president of the Oregon Association of Nurseries, and the following year, the president of Agribusiness Council of Oregon, which encompasses all agriculture around the state. But I'm a lifelong Oregonian. The only time I lived outside the state was during my tour in the Vietnam War and issues there. But I could not wait to come back home to Oregon. So I'm an Oregonian, but that name, when you take it on the scales and compare it to faith, family, freedom, independence and that type of thing, the name doesn't weigh as heavy as the other issues that are there.
What about reaction from the state of Idaho, from their officials, as you rolled this idea out? What was their take?
Well, we've been working with the Idaho legislature, and we've had great response over there. We've got a couple of champions over there that are leading the charge and whatnot. But, you know, all in all, because this is a, like you mentioned earlier, this is an idea of large proportions with many, many steps involved in it. And it takes some relationship building to get it into their legislature, because the whole process comes about that if the Oregon legislature and the Idaho legislature can form a compact, come to an agreement about changing the border, because the border is not cast in stone. It's arbitrary. It can be moved. So if they come into that agreement, then it goes back to Congress for approval in the U.S. Congress. Now, borders have been changed over the years, and Congress has approved every one of those. We don't see any reason why this would not be approved, because it doesn't really change the makeup in the Senate or the Congress. Like if you started a new state there, it might take District 2, U.S. Representative Benson, move him towards Idaho. But all in all, it doesn't affect that relationship back there in the U.S. government. So it needs to be discussed in both areas. Now, we ran a poll in Idaho to Idaho citizens, and it came out 51% in favor, 35% against, and the difference said we need to know more information. And that showed us where we were lacking in that particular area. But we're building, we're lobbying over there in Idaho to, you know, answer the question just to get the talk going. Because these votes aren't votes to secede from the state. These are votes to start the process of looking into it and getting the details in place.
You talked about other situations where borders have been moved in the U.S. Has there ever been one, though, that would encompass this much land space?
Well, you go back to 1860s where you had Virginia and West Virginia when they split. That was probably the biggest one back there. But, the, you know, right now there's counties in Virginia that want to leave and join West Virginia. So it's starting to take place in other places in the United States that people want to align with like people. And that's just exactly the way we feel about it, too.
A lot of things, you know, come into my mind just in terms of what, you know, if this was approved, ultimately, I mean, you're talking changes to funding because you're going to have a different number of people in the state of Oregon, different number of people in the state of Idaho. But there's a lot of aspects to this to be figured out.
Oh, undoubtedly. It's almost a mind-boggling process when you think of it. The easiest way for me to think about it is what would I have to do as a citizen if I just boxed everything up, put it on a truck, and moved to Idaho? What would change? You know, and start looking at those issues, what would change? So I think that one of the goals that I would have in the state legislature is to form a task force, form a committee, start dividing it up, and start looking at the things. How does PERS move? How does schools change? How does funding of this change? And everything. But so far, we've looked at, you know, several things, and the cost of living is less than Idaho. The taxes are less than Idaho. The business regulations are less than Idaho. And on and on and on. So are there some things that don't look attractive? I would imagine so.
Well, I would wonder, too, the reaction, because Idaho indeed has a sales tax and Oregon doesn't.
Well, you can say Oregon doesn't have a sales tax. You probably don't see it on your receipt when you buy something. But when there are corporate activity taxes, when there are other taxes like on small business, all of those taxes on businesses have to be handed down. Otherwise, the business doesn't stay in business. And so we're paying those things. If you look, buy something in Oregon, i.e. gasoline, and then go to Idaho and buy it, it's cheaper, even with the sales tax. And it doesn't figure.
The supporters, do you feel like a lot of supporters genuinely want to have the Idaho label on their name, or are they more interested in getting Salem to pay attention to them?
I think there's some of both there. I think that people have lost trust in Oregon's leadership and think that maybe it has gone too far down a road where it can't turn around and accommodate the problems, the issues that we're dealing with in eastern and southern Oregon. Because 79% of the people live in the Willamette Valley, and that means 79% of the state legislators representing those people are controlling the whole state. And if a bill is passed, it affects us all, even though it's something that was passed to create or change something in, say, the Portland metro area. It affects us, i.e. the drug issues on it. That affects us over here, even though we did not vote to go lax on the hard drugs like Oregon has done now, and slap on the wrist for heroin use and other issues there. So, I mean, it's that's just an example of it, how it works. Now, back a while ago, there was some talk in by a representative over in the Portland area to ban diesel because of all the noise and the smoke and everything that takes place in the Portland metro area. Well, what would happen to rural Oregon, southern Oregon, eastern Oregon, if you ban diesel? We don't have electric combines. We don't have electric tractors. and things out there. You know, we travel long distances to go to the store for the most part. So, yeah, it's a thing where both sides have to sit down and talk about these issues, bring up these problems, and say, okay, how can we correct it? So I'm all in favor of discussing it, talking about it. And if one of the solutions is adjusting the border and letting us become governed by Idaho, then let's go.
About 30 seconds left. If people want to find out more information about it, talk about your website and how they get connected.
Yeah, greateridaho.org. There's maps. There's questions being answered. There's places where you can buy, T-shirts, banners, things like that. All of that information's there.
All right, Mike McCarter from the Greater Idaho Movement. Mike, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle. I sure appreciate it.
1258 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.